So turn in your Bibles for me this morning to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're going to read out of the Amplified Bible, the AMPC. I believe that's what we have. I like the Bible, the Amplified Bible, because it comes alive. It says, and he was casting out demons, breaking strongholds, that was dumb. This is Jesus. And it came to pass, when the demons was gone out, the dumb man spake, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them, somebody say some of them, said, by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, casteth he out demons. Sorry, I'm reading from the wrong translation. I'll get back there. While others too tried and tested and tempted him, demanding a sign. Some said he's in league with and by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Verse 17. But he, well aware of their intent and purposes. You've got to be aware of people's intentions and purposes. Said to them, every kingdom split up against itself is doomed and brought to desolation. And so house falls upon house. The disunited household will collapse. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom last? For you say that I expel demons with the help of and by Beelzebub. How could they say that about Jesus? Now, if I expel demons with the help of and by Beelzebub, with whose help and by whom do your sons drive them out? Now, Jesus is confrontational. He don't take no diss. He responds, I know we're used to seeing Jesus nice and cool and holy. They said he's of the devil. He says, and what about you? Okay, you don't want no smoke. Jesus did. When a strong man fully armed from his courtyard guards his own dwelling, his belongings are undisturbed, his property is at peace and is secure. But when one stronger than he attacks him, say stronger than he, and conquers him, he robs him of his whole armor on which he had relied and divides up and distributes all his goods as plundered spoils. Watch this statement. He who is not with me, siding and believing with me, is against me. Jesus is not playing games. And he who does not gather with me, engaged in my interest, scatters. I want us to read that again. He who is not with me, siding and believing with me, is against me. And he who does not gather with me, engaged in my interest, scatters. I know we're in church. You can't say it. You can't make it known. But you do know there's some people who are not with you, right? You know there's some people who are not siding and believing with you, right? I know you've been nice and chilled and looking like, no, I'm just staying straight, like. But you know that. You know that there are people who are not gathering with you, don't you? Okay, three of you do. Well, I'll talk to the three of you that know that. You know that everybody who says they're with you, not with you. And even more so, they could be closer than you think. Just stay straight. Your wife, your husband, your children, your family, your friends, your colleagues, your church members may not know it's them. I want to talk to you today from the subject of align to thrive. Somebody say align to thrive. I will align to thrive. as you read through the Gospels, as we read through the Gospels, Jesus is very, very focused about why he's here, who he's called to, and what he should do. Remember last time I was here, I talked to you about Jesus at 12. And his mother says, how could you put us through all this? And he has the faithiness to say, woman, don't you know? I don't know what kind of parents he had, but I couldn't say that to my mom or my dad. Woman, don't you know? I must be about my father's business. At 12. Bearing in mind, Jesus was in obscurity for 30 years. We see his birth. We see that story at 12. And he's virtually in obscurity. He only comes out publicly after 30. And then they say around 33, he dies. So that's 3 years. I remember watching TV one time and they asked the then Arsenal manager, Arsene Wenger, who are your favorite people on earth? I was shocked when he said Jesus was one of them. And they said, Jesus, why? And they said, well, this guy fulfilled his life's purpose in 3 years. I don't know about you, I'm still trying. Okay, it's only me. It's only me. Have fun at my expense. But Jesus is on point. Jesus is on purpose. Jesus is about business. And in this text here, he just so happens to be driving out a devil. Now, we did sing Break Every Stronghold, right? Yes. So we're okay to talk about devils, right? Yes. You know devils aren't just like ghosts, right? Yes. You know devils sometimes look like humans, right? Yes. Not you. Not the person next to you, the people outside. But you know they don't all look like... You get the point. Jesus is about the business of breaking strongholds. He cast out a devil out of a man. Interestingly, this guy naturally is dumb. So the symptom, natural symptom, is he's dumb. Jesus does not deal with his natural. He deals with the spiritual. Let me break it down this way. Sometimes we have natural symptoms, but they're spiritual problems. At the root of it, it's spiritual. I'm not trying to say we should be spooky all the time, be of so heavenly minded, of no earthly good, but we just have to face facts. Sometimes what's manifesting in your spouse, in your children, in your colleague at work, in the church, I know nobody's going to say amen about that, but never mind, is a natural, but it's really supernatural. All right, three of you. Got to work harder. Thank you, I like that one. Say that again. Jesus is driving out a demon, spiritual. That's what he's doing. But the guy was dumb natural. Interestingly, when the demon spiritual was gone out, that the man who was dumb begins to speak. Again, disclaimer, I'm not saying to you to go away from here and say everybody's of the devil. That's not what I'm saying at all. But sometimes, just sometimes, there's a natural manifestation, but it's a spiritual problem. The dumb man who is natural begins to speak. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that's a win. That's a W. He couldn't speak before. Now he can speak. Can we say thank the Lord for that? I mean, is anybody happy with that? I mean, if somebody's sick and ill, they get well. Isn't that time for rejoicing, thanksgiving? Okay, we'll have to work a little bit harder than that. Maybe some of us fit into this crowd. Some people. I think in my culture, we call them sometime-ish. Sometime-ish. Sometimes they're like this, sometimes they're like that. Sometimes they're with you, sometimes they're not. Sometime-ish. It says some people admired and marveled at the miracle. These are your crew who, if you make just one step forward, they're gassing you up. They're celebrating. Sorry, I used millennial terms. Does anybody know what gassing up means? Yes. They're bigging you up. Yes? I mean, they are just, you know, you're thinking, I only just made one step. A bit like moms with their children. They got one thing right. 2 + 2 = 4. Mom is throwing a party. You laugh, but you know what that's saying to the child? If I keep winning, I get more parties. They say if you reward what you want, you'll get what you want. They are celebrating him. Some people are marveling. They're wonderful. Oh, wow, miracle. However, nobody here falls into this category. Some people said he was empowered by the devil. Ooh, we now have an issue. We have a problem. The Messiah, the Son of Man, they're saying he's working signs and wonders by the devil. I don't know about you. Has anybody said to you, you're of the devil? You don't have to say anything. In the old time church, the old time church, they would just hold you by the hand and bring you to the altar. Kind of saying that, listen, you need deliverance. Some people said, Jesus, what you're doing for this guy is of the devil. You're empowered by the devil. And I know you're sitting there nice and quiet. I know you've never thought your children, your spouse, your parents, your church colleagues, your work colleagues, or your boss is empowered by the devil. Disclosure, I have. Just being honest. I'm just being honest. There's sometimes, and I'm sure, somebody in my family or my church thinks about me too. Can we keep it real? Can we keep it real? Let's just be honest. Because if we're going to align to thrive, we're going to have to be honest. We're going to have to face facts and we're going to have to face the truth. Some people said he's empowered by the devil. Some people, third category, tempting him, looked for a sign from heaven. Now, you just got a sign. You just got healing. You just got deliverance. You just seen them get saved. Not good enough. I need more. I think they would say that's ungrateful. So we have three categories of people. The people who said, yes, Jesus, gassed him. The people who said, you're of the devil. And the people who said, I don't care what you just did. Show us these signs are from heaven. Well, Jesus being aware by discernment. First word I want you to really think about, discernment. Jesus being aware by discernment of their agenda and motives addresses the elephant in the room. Just pop quiz. Anybody tell me what they think the elephant in the room is? Just pop quiz. Anybody? Tell me, what do you think Jesus addressed in the room? Sorry? Conspiracy? What conspiracy? Towards him? Okay, that's good. That's good. Anybody else? Okay. Seems like then I've got you a little bit intrigued. Watch what Jesus says. Jesus says, a kingdom. Say that again. So what's the elephant in the room? Division, right? Read your Bibles carefully. Because sometimes we miss what Jesus is trying to say. And then we work off of what he's not saying and then don't get the results and then we think it's something wrong with him. When we actually weren't aligned. with what he's saying. He says, a kingdom divided against itself cannot what? Well, what's a kingdom? A kingdom's territory, right? Rulership, reign, realm, authority, power. Yeah? Cannot stand. What's the next thing he says? He starts with a kingdom, then he goes to a house. Okay, he's trying to make a point. Because he could have just said, a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. But he chooses to go further. A house. Well, what's a house? Sorry? Us? Family? The church? Husband and wife? Yes? A company? Yes? A house divided against itself, what will happen to it? Fall down. I don't know about you, it sounds like he's giving the answers. It sounds like he's giving you the answers before you need them. What's the next thing he says? Kingdom, house, who else? If Satan is divided against himself, what happens? Read the text. Read the text, because I don't want you to say that, oh, well, you're just telling us what we want to hear or what you want us to hear. What does the text say? And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom? In essence, if I'm divided against myself, how can I stand? If you divided against yourself, oh, I just saw somebody mouth my scripture. What did you say? I'm coming. Jesus starts with the kingdom, then a house, then Satan, the individual. He says one will be brought to desolation, which will come to nothing. The kingdom will become to nothing. He says the house will collapse or be condemned, cast down, or come to an end. And then he says the person, Satan, or a person, would be dissolved, won't stand, or be safe or sound. Which means you can't build anything on them. I'm coming. So he deals with the elephant in the room, which is what? Division. Now, my wife's been, over the years, helping with me with emotional intelligence. Because unlike Jesus, if I've just laid hands on somebody and cast a demon out, and the dumb spirit comes out and he starts talking, you ain't talking to me. You ain't telling me I'm of the devil. I just cast the signs and wonders. Is that not facts? Why would we be talking about devils when he's just cast a demon out? Well, Jesus is more emotionally intelligent than me. He gets to the root of the problem. The problem is division. He says, if a kingdom or a house or a person is divided against themselves, there's problems. All right? Okay. Well, let's have a look at divide. Because there was an old principle called the divide and rule strategy. Anybody know what that is? What's the premise of that? Let's talk. Let's have class. What's the premise, anybody? Divide and conquer, right? So if I want to take over your house, your country, your nation, or whatever, I come in and cause what? I hope you see where we're going. I come in and I cause division. The Bible says we should not be ignorant concerning the devil's devices. Division is a hot device of the devil. You don't believe me? Did God really say? Did he really say? What did Eve say? Well, he did say this kind of, etc. Before you know it, they're divided from God, divided from each other, and leads to what? Spiritual death. Sin, which is spiritual death. He deals with division. Now, the divide and conquer rule. Watch this. This is where we need to align to thrive. From a color perspective, the social construct of black and white. I just want to ask a question. Would you say my top is black? Is there anybody here who would disagree with that my top is black? Would anybody say that my skin is the same color? What color is my skin? I'll leave it there. Complexion. Complexion. Dark skin? Light skin? Red skin? All right. How about class? Upper class? Middle class? Lower class? How about culture? National beliefs? In our culture, we do it this way. Principles, values, etc. How about clan? Anybody from Nigeria? How many different dialects are there in Nigeria? About how many? 500? Right. More than 129 tribes, clans. Yes? Last one, church. On my way here, I drove next to two churches right next to each other. I'm thinking, why aren't they just joined together? Guess what my wife says before I say anything? Why don't them two churches just join together? I said, I was just thinking the same thing. Church, traditional, Pentecostal, Catholic. I think they said there's something over 129 different denominations. Would you say that, again, a house divided? Now, here's one of the things I love about when I was studying this. Division is when we magnify difference. Yeah? You want to get to division fast, I'm going to give you the keys. Key number one is magnify difference. Well, you're tall. Well, I'm short. You're big. I'm small. You place the emphasis on the difference, you get the division real quick. Doesn't matter. Spouse, work, church, magnify the difference, you're en route to division. Just want to let you know, though, little shout out, God hates division. He didn't say he dislikes it. Proverbs says he hates it. It's abomination. And you see, as believers, sometimes what we do is we categorize sins. Top of the league, bottom of the league. Really, really bad ones. Really, really good ones. He hates division. End of. When you magnify difference, one of the things I used to say to my children, different doesn't mean better or worse. It's just different. It's just different. Difference in color, but we're still created in God's image. Yes, can we agree?
Yes.
All right. Different roles and responsibilities, but we're still on the same team. Oh, okay. That was a little bit iffy. Are we on the same team?
Yes.
Is it okay for me to have the mic and then you have the mic? Can you celebrate me when I've got the mic and I celebrate you when you got the mic?
Yes.
Is it okay for me to be able to play the piano and you be able to work the camera and we still be on the same team?
Yes.
Instead of you looking at me funny like, who does he think he is anyway? I bet he thinks he's Stevie Wonder. That's what we do, isn't it? We look at somebody else's gift, covet their gift, criticize their gift, call them down for their gift, and it's like, well, hold on. It's not your gift. It's theirs. Why can't we celebrate them? Different cultures, but still add value to the earth. I'm going to give you one. Anybody lived in England all their life? Can you tell me one thing England is phenomenal at? Fish and chips. Yeah, I'm with you. I'll go with that one. Sorry? Rain. Rain, okay, cool. Afternoon tea. Pardon? Seaside donuts. How about systems? England is phenomenal at systems. England has a governing body for everything. It's true. If England sees that eating ice cream would make billions, they'll set up a governing body for ice cream. They're good at systems. We have to appreciate it. They're good at systems. Now, you can either criticize it, call it down, or you can say, well, you know what? Let me learn. Because systems keep you what? Organized. Systems save you time. I was looking some time back at the top things, 10 things that make businesses fail. I thought it was money. No, systems. No, systems. Different assemblies, but one church. Please, 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 believers globally, can we understand that this is an assembly which is part of the church, one church? That's the paradigm shift. There's an assembly down the road, but it's still part of one church. Yeah, magnifying difference will lead us to division. Enemy number two, disable, disability. How can you enter a strong man's house unless you first do what? Bind the strong man, which means he can't or they can't function in what they're created or called to do or should be doing. So you disable them. Magnify difference, disable them. Strong man is the head, the leader, or the power of the organization. Or the house. You can't spoil the goods unless you first get in and bind the leader. Well, in the company, the leader may be the CEO, maybe the owner. In the church, maybe the pastor, it may be a team. But either way, in the house, the husband. Or it could be a mom. It does not matter. You want to spoil the goods, bind the strong man, disable the strong man. The house is the individual, like I said. Disable the head and you will kill the body. Okay then. Are we good so far? We understand Jesus is about his business, yes? He's aligned with the Father. He's doing what the Father says to him to do. He's saying what the Father says he wants to say, but they're still saying he's of the devil. Okay? All right. Let me explain to you what align means, because we're talking about aligning to thrive or align to thrive. To align means to arrange in line so as to be parallel. Anybody been in the military? No? You don't see soldiers one marching there, one marching to the side, and then, oh, but it looks pretty that way. No. No. You march in step, and you march in line, and you march in time. Adjust parts to produce a proper relationship or orientation. That's what it means to align. Second bit. So you're arranging all the parts. So here's the deal. On the stage this morning, we had a guitarist, a piano player, a drummer, some singers. All individual parts. But they played in the same key, played at the same tempo, played the same song. Okay, you're not getting it. I lead worship, you see. So could you imagine if I come and say, we're going to sing, I'll speak the name of Jesus. And the piano player says, Well, I just want to play this something about the name of Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. Well, no. Speak the name of Jesus. And they start playing that. Or could you imagine if we want to sing the song in one key and the piano player goes in a different key? I'm saying this because I'm a piano player. It's dividing the parts, right? It's not alignment. It's not parallel. The third thing is an ally. With one side of an argument or cause. To align or ally with an argument or a cause. When we're not aligned, we're disabled. My sister said the scripture, James 1:8, a double-minded man is what? Unstable. Watch what unstable means. Well, double-minded leads to wavering, uncertainty, doubting, divided in interest. Be it decisions, feelings, thinking, course, conduct, journey, or goals. That's what it means to be double-minded. So it means then that my thinking and my feelings and my decision-making are all out of sync. They're not together. Double-minded. So it makes me unstable. When we're unstable or we're double-minded concerning kingdom vision, values, strategy, and priorities, we're compromised. We're not aligned. And the thing is this. In the church, this is a biggie. We come to church and we believe because we volunteer to come or we're coming to be obedient to God, I can just do what I want. I know it's not this church. It's the church down the road. It's the one down the road. We can show up whatever time we want. We can say what we want. We can do what we want. If the worship leader says, I lift my hands, we say, I dare you to make me lift my hands. I'm just saying that because I'm a worship leader. It works two ways because you could be looking at the worship leader saying, well, why don't you lift your hands? You're telling us to lift our hands, but you got your hands down in your pocket. We think we can do what we want. And it's time for us as believers to align, whether it's in our individual life, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our families, whether it's in our work professionally, the church especially, we need to align. We need to make sure that we're aligned. To thrive means to grow vigorously. I have a problem. I have a problem when we say we're the house of God and we don't grow. As people and numerically. I have a problem. I have a problem if I've been in an area for 1, 3, 5, 10 years and nobody comes. I'm not saying that's the church's fault, but we've at least got to look at ourselves, right, first? All right. To grow vigorously, to be successful or make steady progress. This is a problem for me. I think that the church has become so used to losing and not being successful, we almost see it as a holy thing, a godly thing. Problem is that thinking is counteractive to what Jesus did. Jesus went to a boat, not because he needed to go to the boat, but because 5,000 people were pushing him into the boat. I wonder what would happen if 5,000 people turned up here next Sunday. It's growth, right? I think the TV cameras would be turning up saying, what's happening? 5,000 people can't fit in the building. People are outside. But as believers, we should be successful. We should be growing. We should be making progress. Steady, but we should be making progress. This is the one that's going to get me in trouble this morning. But I've parked my car away so nobody can jack it. To prosper by industry, economy, and good management. To prosper. I know there's a big thing going around the world about, does God want us to prosper? I'm going to show you. I'm not trying to preach a prosperity gospel, because I don't believe in a prosperity gospel. I believe in what Jesus says. If he says I can have it, I want it. Yeah. Oh, you guys haven't been kids long enough. You guys haven't been kids long enough. If he says I can have it, I want it. To thrive means to prosper by industry, work, economy, and good management. Here's my evidence. Here's my evidence. John 10:10. Can we have John 10:10 up, please? And what's my time looking like? John 10:10. It says, the thief does not come except to what? Kill and
destroy.
Do we have the job description of the devil? Do we have the job description of demons?
Yes.
Do we have the job description of anybody, human being I'm talking now, who's demonically influenced? What comes from them? Steal? Kill? Can we be in agreement with that? Can we be in agreement that those are not my words? These are Jesus' words, they're in red. He says the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But, well, what does but mean? Forget that stuff. I have come that you may have what? And have it? Please, security. I'm going to read some stuff now from the scriptures. And you're either going to jump through the roof with excitement or you're going to stone me. Either way, I'm cool. The word life there means zoe. It means spiritual, physical, conduct, eternal life. I'm going to read that again. It means spiritual life, physical life, manner or conduct of life, and eternal life. We're happy with eternal life as the church. We're just not happy with the physical life and the spiritual life and the manner of life. We just seem to not be able to get our heads around that. It says eternal life of God and Christ as the absolute source and cause of life. Shall I read it again or you got it? See, your silence is telling me that this guy's lying. He's not telling the truth. This not my words. This is what the scripture says. When I read it, I was like, God, I've been living below my means. I've been saying I'm a believer, but not embracing and aligned with everything God says. Abundance. Advantage beyond measure. See, sis, you said we sang the songs, but we need to make it personal, right? But we sing the songs, but we don't make it personal. Because it says advantage beyond measure, extraordinary, exceedingly more than necessary, over and above, preeminence, remarkable, surpassing, superior, uncommon. Now, when I read that, I repented. God, I'm sorry, I'm not aligned. Because I don't have all that. Facts, I don't have all that. I thought you just wanted me to be a good Christian, be cool, give, sow into people's life, build people, etc. And my life just be cool. That's not what it says, John 10:10. I can see that we've got problems here. It's time to thrive, the Jesus style, in every aspect of our lives. It's time to thrive. Who's ready to thrive? Three of you. Who's ready to thrive? If you're ready to thrive, stand on your feet this morning as we close.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next one.